very specific or particular story. It really is about everybody.
But that is a central point, Gina. I'm glad you brought that up, because it really is more than a local issue. It's more than a regional issue. It really is a global issue. If you believe your life is touched by climate change and the loss of biodiversity on the planet, then this is an issue that should be central to you. It's frustrating and sad that the major news organizations will not cover something that is so important. It should be on the front page.
Right. Well, let me just say, finally, you make clear in your piece that the fight is not over. You've just announced that the government has already said they're going forward with the appeal and have a date for it. But we also know from other situations that sometimes just holding up deals can be meaningful. Investors can get squirrely and it can kind of change the dynamic of things. So I don't want us to undersell the meaningfulness, no matter what happens, of the stay anyway that the Huarani people won in this provincial court in Ecuador.
Absolutely. 100% agreed.
We've been speaking with artist, journalist, Reynard Loki. He's editor-in-chief correspondent of Earth, Food, Life. That's a project of the Independent Media Institute. Reynard Loki, thank you so much for joining us this week on Counterspin.
Thank you, Janine.
And that's it for Counterspin for this week. Counterspin is produced by the National Media Watch Group FAIR, based in New York. If you missed part of today's show or you'd like to hear previous shows, you can find shows and transcripts on FAIR's website, fair.org. The show is engineered by Erica Rosato. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
Yes, indeed. It is Monday, June 10th, 5:30 p.m. That means Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show is up next. Before we get into it, want to thank some of our underwriters, people that keep the lights on around here. Talking Bell Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners just like yourself and by Affordable Automotive, locally owned by Mike Bunton. And family since 1996, Affordable Automotive grows their business one customer at a time, repairing or maintaining any car, truck, or SUV, ensuring a safe and reliable vehicle. Affordable Automotive also has financing available at 2106 Park Ave in Chico. Appointments by calling 892-1774 and at chicoautomotive.com. Voted best in Chico the last 6 years in a row. Also made possible by Dr. Michael Shule, clinical psychologist offering psychotherapy for adults and play therapy for children. Dr. Shule helps people find meaning and depth in their lives and deal with issues including depression, anxiety, and trauma. Dr. Shule also works with children as young as 5. Located in Chico, Dr. Shule can be reached at 891-6292. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's start the show.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. Yeah. I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice. We're talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed. We are talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. Stepman Brad is out, so I am filling the role of producer and host, just like the old days. It's your man, Jarrell Gilbert, alongside me, as always, my partner in crime, Derek Izamaki.
What's good, party people?
We also got Sonny Slim, a.k.a. John Lucan.
What it do?
And we got the homie, friend of the show, part of the show, part of the pod, Jordan Booth, a.k.a. DJ J Pounds.
Ow. What's up, everybody?
It's good to be back. We have to start with the NBA Finals. We'll get to that.
Beautiful topic.
What a year, man. What a year.
What a time to be alive.
Finally.
So anyway, the Warriors find themselves in a 3-1 hole. Sounds like KD does plan on playing. No word yet if he will be starting tonight. I don't believe the game starts. Tip-off is in about 25 minutes, so we will still be in here doing the show. But we'll talk about it anyway. KD comes back. In your guys' opinion, does that give the Warriors any shot of digging themselves out of this 3-1 hole they're in?
Of course. He's the best player in the world. It has to give you a shot. Whether the calf is going to hold up, I don't know. They have to feed him a bunch. I mean, it's today we're going to see if he's going to be able to go another three games. I mean, you have to give him the ball and give him his shots. If we're going to hope to win this game,
he's their Obi-Wan Kenobi right now. Their only hope.
Touché.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they
like that.
They need him to ever if they want a chance to get back at the series.
Watching the warm-ups, though, I mean, he going through his standard routines. I mean, doing 360 spins on that calf, on that leg to spot shooting. Didn't look like he was favoring it at all. So I don't know, man. I think he's ready to go. It's just my question is the defensive side of the ball.
He
can score, obviously, but, how is he going to hold up, against a Siakam or,
probably
Ibaka?
Better than what the Warriors have been doing already. I mean, they've been pretty pathetic out there.
They've been awful.
It's not great.
Offensively, without him, they've been extremely stagnant, even though the ball moves less when he's in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like him coming back, even if he's not 100% himself, the spacing, just with having, a seven-foot shooter out there, will give Steph room to maybe have another 40-point night. And if KD can give you 20, because, those other guys the last couple games have not contributed whatsoever. So if KD can give you 20, Klay can have a normal game, and Steph can go off, you got a chance to win Game 5. I'm actually picking the Warriors to win Game 5 tonight.
When I saw the opening line yesterday, the Warriors were favored by 5.5, so I'm assuming Vegas thought KD would be back for this one. If the Warriors don't fix their defensive rotation, it don't matter if KD, LeBron, and Michael Jordan were starting tonight on the same team. If they continue to have the defensive rotation that they've had the last four games, it don't matter. Because I'm telling you, I think any one of us could go out starting for the Raptors and put up 8 to 10 points, because they are getting easy, wide-open looks left and right. I mean, there's no reason that Marcus Gasol should ever be able to dribble the ball twice and just get an easy dunk. And you're seeing it time and time again. I mean, high school level mistakes where they're jumping, dude with the ball in the hand is running around to pick. They're jumping that guy, and no one is rotating, and you're getting wide open threes for guys like Siakam in the corner, guys like Van Vliet. And to their credit, they've stepped up, and besides game two, they've been knocking those shots down. But I mean, the mental errors, this has been a plague for the Warriors defense all season long. And I think a lot of people assumed that, the attention to detail will be there in the finals. But defense is something that you kind of build habits. You build good habits and you build bad habits. And the Warriors have the widest margin for error potentially ever of any team, but definitely currently they have the widest margin of error because they have Klay and Steph and Draymond and KD. But when you build those habits all season long, it's hard to flip a switch and then say, okay, now we're really going to focus on getting that third man over to cover the corner now that we're in the finals, you know?
Right.
And I just think that has been their Achilles heel. Obviously, the injuries have greatly affected them and affects that continuity on defense. But, man, it's been hard to watch. It's been a layup line for the Raptors.
Yeah, and I feel like this series, we're seeing the bench exposed for the Warriors. I mean, it's been talked about time and time again of how, you know, we're not as deep as the Warriors used to be in previous, you know, playoff runs. But, yeah, I mean, there's no scoring from any sort of the bench. I mean, you had Quinn Cook here and there that can hit shots. But, I mean, even Livingston and his little, you know, kind of pop shots not falling. Draymond being a, you know, facilitator all year. He, you know, it's like Peter Pan. He forgot how to fly. You know what I mean? He doesn't know how to score anymore. You know, it's and I feel like the last few games you kind of see kind of complacency with the pass. I mean, everyone's driving, and then the last minute they, you know, one too many pass to a steal or to, you know, it's like
the turnovers have been rough.
No one wants to score. No one knows who to give it to.
I mean, I feel like we have to give Toronto a little bit of credit because they have been extremely efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kawhi Leonard, what, had 37, 14, and 4 last game with 0 turnovers?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if your best player is not turning the ball over, almost giving, averaging a triple-double throughout the series,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we got to talk about how great he's been. We got to talk about how Kyle Lowry has came to show up.
Yep.
And actually,
how did that happen?
How does that happen?
This is the first time I've seen it.
But
this is the first time he's ever showed up in the postseason. I'm sure DeMar DeRozan would have appreciated when he was there. But,
I like the Jurassic Park. All the signs they've been doing in Toronto, and they I saw one that said, "We are North." DeMar DeRozan had to die for this.
Oh, man. You see the interview with him saying he was a sacrificial lamb for Toronto's success?
Yeah.
If you haven't, make sure you check that out on YouTube. It's up right now.
That's hilarious.
No, man, you were just the piece missing, like the piece that they need to get rid of to actually make a superstar.
But,
team.
I mean, look at this team now. I mean, if they go, I mean, to see up 3-1 on a team that we all thought was a dynasty, you know, that, I mean, is kind of a little bit before.
I mean, 3 and 4 years.
Yeah, something, man.
Yeah, they're right. A dynasty.
But, but to, you know, to be in that kind of upper echelon of three-peat, you know what I mean? There's only a few teams that have done that.
Yeah.
Kawhi stopped them both right now, apparently.
I mean, if we look at the Warriors dynasty, they've had some of the biggest failures in a dynasty, per se. I mean, the 3-1 comeback loss to LeBron. Obviously, this year, if they lose, that's going to be a huge, you know what I'm saying, thing where they should have won. Dynasties don't lose when they're supposed to win. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, but that, I don't
think. That's how a lot of them claps, though. That's how a dynasty claps. It's like, oh, man, we just kind of started tumbling and up. I mean, look what happened to, like, the Lakers team that lost to the Pistons.
The Pistons were loaded.
Can we all put an asterisk on this?
I mean, they had great players, but, like, as a whole, they weren't, like,
that. You lose to an undermanned Cleveland team, and you lose to the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, but let's look at the Toronto Raptors right now. All of them are playing lights out. The entire team is playing their best, arguably their best all season.
Not to mention they have a guy by the name of Kawhi Leonard who's, at this point in time, showing that he's the best player in the NBA.
But we wasn't on him like this before this. Before this,
I mean,
moment.
He's always been a top
because
5 player.
Yeah.
He has this scene. He's like really moved up the ranks.
Agreed.
How many other players are you taking over Kawhi Leonard at this point?
Not one. Kevin Durant maybe before.
Nah,
the injury.
Not even him. No,
if you want to win one game, I would take KD just because I think overall
to build the franchise at this. Point.
Oh, then I'm taking Kawhi.
You're taking he's Kawhi young, he's, oh, over anybody. Over anybody in the NBA right now, he's taking Kawhi.
I would say so, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think he's younger than KD, one, and two, he's a better two-way player. And I just think he doesn't come with any of the baggage that KD comes with, right? I mean, by all accounts, aside from whatever the hell happened in San Antonio, he's proven to be a pretty excellent teammate. You know,
he just doesn't dab you up when you want to get dabbed up.
Yeah, Norman Powell got left.
He's still waiting for that one right now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there is that.
He called him like, come on, bro. Can't be doing me like that, bro. Come on now.
There are cameras everywhere, dog. Yeah. All right.
Let's move forward. Staying with the NBA, David McMiniman came out today with a report on ESPN. It's up now if you want to go check it out. And it was talking about the New Orleans Pelicans, who are in a bit of a precarious situation. They have the number one overall pick in this year's draft. They also have an asset who is top five, top ten, regardless of how you want to slice it. He's one of the best players in the league, and Anthony Davis, who obviously made a mess of things last year by coming out and saying that he did not plan on re-signing with the Pelicans. David Griffin, the GM of the Pelicans, came out and said he would be looking for or would consider a multi-team trade this offseason. Potential suitors so far have proven to be both L.A. teams, so the Clippers, Lakers, both New York teams, the Knicks, and the Nets. As well as Toronto and the Celtics. Of all those teams, what team do you think would have the best chance? Or what? Let's do this different. What team would y'all like to see Anthony Davis end up on? Derek, we'll go with you last because I am pretty sure your answer would be the Lakers.
What? No, never. Of course.
Okay, we'll go. We'll get back to you then.
I mean, I don't even have to say now.
And your team's the Clippers, so
I don't want them on the Clippers, though.
Really?
No.
They have a better chance of getting Kawhi.
Yeah, I'm much more interested in Kawhi Leonard. I feel like that's the best chance we have.
Yeah?
Yeah. I would probably want to see him on the Knicks. You know, the Knicks have been bad for so long that, you know, having a marquee player like an Anthony Davis, if maybe they could swing a Kyrie Irving or even just a...
Well, they need to, I think.
Even a decent rookie, you know what I mean? Like, to pair with him, that would be much better than what he's had in the past. So
I think it would actually be much more comical if New York gets nobody this season. I mean, it would be terrible for, like, New York and that, but I just think it would be hilarious if the Knicks get nobody. They all go everywhere else. Like, the Nets get Kyrie and KD. That would be just...
What if L.A. gets nobody?
That'd still be funny, too. But Knicks would be funnier.
Yeah.
It'd be just funny because it's not your team.
Yes. I mean, it'd still be funny for the Lakers, but the Knicks... It would just be like, all right, yeah.
Yeah, and at least the Lakers do have one of the greatest players of all time on that franchise. I feel like we keep forgetting that, like, oh, they got to add all these pieces. They really just need one or two guys who could come in and contribute immediately for the Lakers to really be relevant and make a push.
Like a Clay and an Anthony Davis.
Well, I mean, by all accounts, it looks like Clay plans on re-signing with Golden State. Now, we'll see what happens because players say a lot of stuff during the season. But it would just be, I mean, if you're in the West, the best move you can make is to take a player from the Warriors because not only are you bolstering your roster, you're weakening your greatest threat to a championship run. So we'll see.
I mean, I think the best thing for the Warriors is honestly to lose Kevin Durant.
Really?
Yeah, as a team, I mean, just moving forward, I feel like you would be more competitive if you were to lose Kevin Durant's contract and, you know, bolster your bench, add another decent player to go with Steph. You can keep Iguodala coming off the bench. He's probably got at least two more, three more years if he can stay healthy.
And you re-sign Boogie?
Yeah, you can re-sign Boogie for the low, and then your team looks just like it did pretty much before KD got there, which is a formidable team in the NBA, no doubt.
Swap KD for AD. Boom. I like it.
Hey, you know they're looking at it.
They're definitely trying.
Yeah, you know they're looking at it.
If they could do that, they would.
Team in there. Yeah.
The only problem is there's no way KD's signing
with the Pelicans. Yeah.
There's no chance he's doing, because it would have to be a sign and trade because he's unrestricted, if I remember correctly.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I don't think he's on a 1-1. I think he is completely unrestricted after this season. So we'll see. It would be nice to see the Knicks do something and at least be semi-relevant and make a playoff run, because they have been so trash for so many years. And anyone who's ever...
Their entire life, pretty much.
Yeah,
there's
save a couple...
one good, like, Latrell Sprewell,
Allen Houston, Larry Johnson year when they made the finals and lost.
They made the finals with Allen Houston and Sprewell?
I thought they just made a small playoff push.
I thought they made the finals.
Last time the final was Patrick Ewing. Yeah, Patrick Ewing and John Starks, yeah.
Pretty sure they made the finals when they beat Indiana, and...
That was with
This is
Ewing.
What we need Statman Brad for.
I miss Brad.
Yeah.
I miss you, Brad.
We could really use you right now, because I'm trying to do 12 different things, and it's not going well. Anything else on the NBA? Should we move on?
Let's keep it pushing.
Cool.
Bless you.
Bless you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. David Ortiz, Big Poppy, gets shot in the Dominican Republic. Last I saw, he is stable, but still, man, that's...
It's crazy.
It was like a hit attempt on him. Like, it looks like the guy, like, legitimately was, like, going after Big Poppy. He got big popped.
Jeez.
Wow. Too soon. Too soon, but he is in stable condition.
Yeah.
So, that is a good thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Baseball.
Baseball. Should we talk more about baseball?
Yo, Bumgarner is such a bum. Like, he is, like, the no-fun pitcher. Gosh, he's so annoying.
Yeah.
I really do.
Him like, chirping the other day after
gosh,
he
got, man.
If
got
you get,
rocked.
He if
got
you get rocked. Lit up, yeah, just rocked. Take it. Take wear
he,
it.
He didn't even show him up that much. Muncy just dropped his back, maybe stared for a split second, but was moving. He didn't, like, stop and stare.
Yeah, Bumgarner is such a baby.
He really does. Like, yeah. He just gives up the...
He acts like just because he's 6'6".
I still would not want to see him.
He acts like just because he's 6'6", nobody wants that. Odor will come out there and rock that dude.
I would take Muncy over...
over Bumgarner in a fight?
Yeah, in a fight. Yeah, I think I think Muncy would...
Oh, I mean,
yeah.
Bumgarner is a beast now.
He's a big dude, but like Muncy is like... He's a wide load.
Oh, and just an update on that Knicks championship. The last time they went to the championship was 1994, and they lost to the Houston Rockets.
Thank you.
Hakeem Olajuwon was the finals MVP.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
There you go.
So that was the Ewing squad. All right.
Because they lost to the Pacers at one time, and that's when the Pacers went to face the Lakers, I want to say.
Okay. I think you're right. I think that's accurate. All right. Well, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Excellent. Appreciate the update.
Statman Jordan.
Yeah. Statman Jordan. Woo! All right. Let's keep it pushing. I did want to talk a little bit about baseball and some of – this has been kind of a weird year. A lot of the teams we thought would be at the top aren't. In particular, Boston, though they are above 500, they're not having the season the Yankees nor the Tampa Bay Rays are having.
The Tampa Bay Rays, that's like out of left field.
Plus 96 run differential right now.
Their pitching has been pretty spectacular.
I think that's the downfall of this entire season. I mean, everyone's bullpen that you thought was going to be a great team is really kind of screwing the pooch for them. I mean, look at Boston. Look at even Houston right now is kind of fluttering right there.
They have the same amount of wins as the Dodgers do with 45 leading the.
And Houston has a plus 97 run differential. So they're 8-2 in their last.
Because that team is
maybe not the best example.
I mean, though I don't really watch baseball, I feel like preseason like team standings is the most like that's the most. Unreasonable thing in like sports, like you don't care about that. That doesn't matter because baseball is such a long season.
Yeah,
like so many things could happen that like.
And I feel baseball is the most random of the four major sports. That almost I don't want to say almost anyone, but there almost seems to be a dark horse every year that makes a nice playoff run. And we don't get that in the NBA hardly at all. I mean, you knew Toronto was going to be one of the top 3 to 4 teams out of the East. Everyone knew the Warriors were going to be in the finals or the Rockets, and that's what we got. NFL, you have some turnover as well, but the last 2 years we've had a repeat in the Super Bowl. But I feel like baseball, I mean, it's just such a rhythm game. And if your team just gets hot and can stay hot, I mean, you can go from worst to first pretty quick.
It's happened to many teams.
Yeah.
You've seen it happen time and time again.
I mean, the Twins are killing it this year, and I'm so confused by that.
And the Brewers. Brewers are looking great,
Well, they had a great season last year. I think it's just carrying over right now, and they're going to see some really
reigning MVP.
Yeah, but they got the MVP.
Yep. Kristen Yelich, baby. Miami's feeling real bad about that.
Yeah, they're not loving that.
They got like a bag of potato chips for that guy.
Worse, man. Not even. It's like a bad bag of potato chips.
Like an opened bag of potato chips.
I think I got to return this. No, you bought it.
Yeah. I feel like the
sales are final.
The NL Central, that race is going to be a lot of fun coming down to the end. Right now, at the top, Chicago, Milwaukee tied, and then St. Louis is behind them by 5.5
games.
Well,
Chicago just made a big move getting Dallas Keuchel off of free agency, signed him to a one-year deal. He'll probably be...
What was that deal worth, do you remember?
Did he get close? It's right around $13 million or $11
million,
I think,
turned down $17 million for...
Keuchel went to Atlanta. They got Kimbrel.
That's right.
Craig Kimbrel,
Excuse me.
So the Bills bolstered their bullpen right there.
Right, yeah.
So, which is good,
It's a good anchor, setup, or at least a closer,
I was definitely hoping to get, Dodgers pay a little interest in, because everyone's bullpen, like you're saying, is pretty
crazy that these guys have been on the free agent list for 8 months.
I didn't realize it was that long. I honestly was like, wait, do you mean to tell me Craig Kimbrel and Dallas Keuchel both haven't been playing?
Dallas Keuchel had a Cy Young year 2-3 years ago.
He's definitely dropped off. I think he was just looking for too much. He was looking for that long term deal. We're like, nah, man, we can't trust you.
But I think, I mean, I picking up these guys in even though it's not even the halfway point of the season, these guys have had rest. They're not going to have the wear and tear come August, October. They're going to be good and fresh to go. I mean, I think the Chicago Cubs just made a really, really good move, especially because that division is just so, in particular with the Cardinals.
They needed to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. They want to stand out at all.
Okay. Cool.
Bumgarner's a
baseball.
Baseball.
Right. Baseball. I love how the day that Brad's not here, we decided to talk about baseball. He's probably so peed right now.
He's listening too, and I can guarantee that he has all sorts of things he would like to add.
We're probably going to get a couple of texts right now in a couple of seconds. And he's like, talk about this, this, and this. And we're like, baseball. We have no idea what you're talking about, man.
Speaking of obscure sports we only talk about occasionally, let's talk some racing.
Formula One, the sport that very few Americans care about. Presented by Derek Kusumaki.
It's been a while.
I haven't heard that one in a minute.
You haven't heard it?
I've never heard that. I've been here for 2 years and I've never heard
it. Wow. It hasn't been that long since we've done it. Well, we've talked about F1. We just haven't had it.
I lost the drop. Okay. The whole entire time it was just sitting on my desktop under the wrong title.
Well, there we go. All right, F1, y'all.
F1, baby.
If you are a fan of racing, F1 is the pinnacle of that. And it's been a crazy season. And the Canadian Grand Prix was nothing short of spectacular. As Mercedes has pretty much been dominating every single race they've entered. Lewis Hamilton has quite a bit of a lead. That guy is killing it.
He really is the number one driver
in the world. Dude's got some fresh cornrows on right now. Dude looks good. Dude is killing the game.
Shout out to all my African Americans on the come up right now.
They're all over the place, I feel. Yeah.
Yep.
They've already come up, I feel.
Well.
Yeah. And he's been
not
there.
Not this
for a
one.
Bit. Yeah.
It's all my brothers.
Maybe not all of them.
All my brothers and sisters out there.
Love looking up to y'all.
Yeah, that's all I can do.
Either way, in spectacular fashion, as this Formula One Grand Prix won about, Sebastian Vettel finally, and Ferrari finally, had themselves the day. He had captured pole position, and he was figured to take the dub. However, with about 10 laps left, a little more than 10 laps, he had a little incident where he came off the track, went onto the grass, and then came back onto the track right as Lewis Hamilton was coming behind him. It took the officials quite some time to figure out what to do in this type of situation and deemed Vettel's move to be unsafe and therefore gave him a 5-second penalty. Now, in Formula One, that is forever. 5 seconds is a ton of space you have to make up, and Vettel was not able to make that gap up, and therefore, finishing first, he actually came in second. Yeah, so even when you're first, you're still last, apparently. So, you know.
Yeah, looking at it, he lost by less than 3.5 seconds.
Yeah, and he won the. He won it. Like I said, he was up there on by 2.5. So he just couldn't stretch that differential that he needed to keep the top of the podium. Obviously,
now as a driver, do you know that?
I mean, you hear constant communication.
Hamilton already knows. Like, hey, there's been a 5-second penalty. I know how to make up.
It took them forever to figure. It took them like 10 laps to figure out how long of a penalty they're going to give him. So this happened. About 3/4 of the race through, and then they figured out. So he's like, he probably knew something was coming his way, so he's probably thinking stretch it out as best as he can, but it just wasn't in the cards for him. And once again, Lewis Hamilton claims the podium and therefore stretches the lead. Probably going to take another world championship if any one of these teams can step up. Ferrari, not looking good. Same with Red Bull. You've had Max Verstappen having a good season, but he just can't find the seem to get a top of the podium. We'll see how the season goes. There's still many races to go. Might be trying to go to Circuit of Americas. I don't know. Drew and I are talking about it. He might shell out a few hundred bucks for going.
Thanks for bringing it.
It's going to be expensive.
Yeah, it will be expensive to go. I mean, we just talked about this yesterday, so it wasn't like, you know, anything new.
Yeah, we haven't been texting each other privately for months about this. Don't worry about it. We're going to invite everyone.
How do you feel about that, Jordan?
I don't want to go.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. F1.
I have not been even paying attention. But he got a penalty for non-safe driving?
For entering the track in an unsafe situation.
The whole thing is unsafe.
Yeah.
The whole concept of, what was it, Formula One?
Formula One, yeah.
It's unsafe.
Yeah, go as fast as you possibly can around the circuit and don't die.
You know, that's hypocritical. Lewis Hamilton, you got screwed.
No, Lewis Hamilton won.
Sebastian Vettel got screwed.
Sebastian Vettel, you got screwed.
He does. He feels like
Lewis
that.
Hamilton, you got plugged. It plugged you with that first place, Bellamy.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR. Chico, we are listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. We want to thank you for spending an hour of your evening with us here. Once again, want to shout out Statman Brad. He will be back next week, as I will be stepping out. But the guys will be here, so make sure you come back next week. Let's keep it pushing here. You want to do, you got some news for the people?
Yeah, I'm down for it.
Okay, excellent. That'd be great, because I'm going to you right now.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world,
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. Now, I saw this one. It's too good to pass up. I don't know about you guys. I've always wondered what's the least harmful thing you could get away with robbing a bank. I don't know. Anybody? Any ideas? Like, what do you think you could probably get away with if you held in your hand and said, this is some type of weapon I can get away with robbing this bank?
Box cutter.
I know where you're going with this, so I don't want to answer.
Box cutter.
Box cutter is what you think. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know, a toy gun?
All right, fine. Okay. Fine.
I know this story.
All right,
so.
Fine. You heard it. Either way, I'm going to drop some knowledge on y'all.
Drop it.
A guy in Israel, a 47-year-old, was accused of robbing two banks using an avocado.
Oh, man. Avocado is dangerous.
Dude.
That's like yellow cake, son. That's like yellow cake, son. Yellow cake is dangerous, son.
Either way, this man came in to the postal bank branch, handed the teller a note demanding money. The teller, obviously confused, didn't know what to do. He pulled out an avocado and said it was a grenade, and he was going to pull said grenade pin and blow up the bank if they did not hand over some money. And, yeah, he handed over $4,500 worth of cash. This dude walked out with $4,500 with an avocado.
He can afford the guacamole.
Now he can. Now, the next day, he did it again at another postal branch bank.
This guy's a legend.
Another avocado.
And wait, same avocado or different one?
I don't know. Maybe he made some guacamole out of the other one. We don't know yet. I mean,
you know what's crazy?
Celebration.
I don't think that even, like, I'm thinking of it like, from, like, through like the law side, would they even be able to charge him with like use of a weapon? Because he's not even he's using an avocado.
Yeah.
So like basically he like just strong armed them
into giving them money.
He it's basically like, no sweet talked them into $4,500.
I feel the bank should have to eat that, and that man should be able to walk away scot free.
I agree.
Yeah. He didn't use any lethal force.
The gift of gab.
Okay.
So either way, this guy walked out with $7,800 worth of cash, all because he used an avocado. Not trying to give anyone ideas, but I am going to tell tellers, when someone says they have a grenade, make sure it's not an avocado first. You know, like tell them, yo, pull that pin. Yeah, yeah, let's see what happens. Maybe not that way.
Yeah, there you can get everybody killed.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of a weird thing to rob a bank with. I mean, not the avocado, just the grenade in general. Like
that is a little weird, yeah.
You're going to pull a pin and like, all right. Like,
all right, blows up one time and like, all right, what do you got now, bud?
Yeah, what are you going to throw it and run out of the bank and then run back in once it after it
explodes? Yeah, I don't think that's what he was selling. He was selling, I'm crazy. We all
going,
can
yeah,
die.
We're all you going know down what I
mean?
This together.
Oh,
yeah.
You can give this up and we all can live. You know what I mean? That's how he sold it. Yeah, he was like, I don't care about this.
The gift of gab.
Speaking of gab, a Tampa Bay's rookie pitcher had to walk to a game to make his initial pitching start for the MLB. That is right. This guy was so dedicated to the cause that when he realized when he was in Boston, there's traffic there. Yeah, bud. So he hopped in an Uber, realized he was going to be late to the start of his game, hopped out, ran on foot, got to Fenway Park, made his pitching debut.
Wow.
So congrats to you, bud. Colin Poch. Poch. Poachy. I'm going to call you Poachy because that's a lot more fun to say.
It is.
Colin Poachy got called up when you were the 26th man on that roster for Tampa Bay. And on that doubleheader, he was pitching the second game. So he stayed in this team's hotel room. Apparently, that's what pitchers do. They don't show up to the games because they're lazy. They only play one day out of five. Like, come on. And they pay them so much money, too. God, ridiculous. That's a job to have, actually, in sports. Like, hey, play one time every week, and I'll give you the most money on this team.
Yeah, it's a pretty good gig.
Granted, you do have the most pressure on you in said game because it's like the ball's in your hand, literally, for most of the time. So you probably deserve some money, but, you know, one time out of five, that's pretty special. Either way, good for you, right, Colin Poachy, for doing Poachy. What you... Poachy. Because he's got to do what you got to do, man. You got to get to the game. You got to get to the game, you know? Now, finally, one last story because, you know, I got one good one. I'm usually a good-hearted guy. Not usually, I should say. So every once in a while, I like to throw in a nice story...
You're the worst.
...that brightens your day. Now, someone who is more self-aware than I am and actually aware that there are people around them and people have problems, I don't really am not quite aware of that just yet. But a 9-year-old, Ryan Yoti. I'm going to call him Yoti because it's K-Y-O-T. I don't know if it's coyote or... I don't know. Either way, Ryan, you're a 9-year-old with a great heart. This guy was watching the news with his mother, which I don't know why he's doing at 9 years old. Like, come on, God, go and play some video games or something. Either way, you saw a news story where you saw that there are kids who were denied in school hot meals because they didn't have the money to pay for them. Now, Ryan felt like many people, that's a travesty that no kid should ever have to go through. In a public school, we should have the money to be able to fund them, to feed them, and teach them throughout the days for 6 hours. Come on. What are we doing, y'all? Either way, he saw the travesty in that and wanted to make sure that no one in his class had that situation. So they called up the school and asked for everyone in the third grade class if there was what the debt was on the school for the food program. He found out it was about $78 and some change, and Ryan had saved up enough of his allowance money to pay off that debt for his classmates.
Wow.
So right on you, Ryan. 9-year-old dude with a good head on his shoulders.
The guy's going places.
Better more than I am.
Shout out to Ryan.
Good on you, bud. Let's fix that fix this education system where Ryan doesn't have to pay for people's meals, though. You know, that's kind of...
Seriously. Yeah,
look alive, y'all. That's my news for y'all. Thank you.
The news! Appreciate it, sir.
You think, like, the worst bank name ever is Rob a Bank? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that place should get robbed more than any other bank.
According to the name.
Yeah, I was just... Yeah.
I got you.
They were asking for it.
They were asking for it.
I came in with an avocado, man. They gave me money. I don't know what to say.
So from hating on banks to hating on other things, ladies and gentlemen.
The player haters ball.
Oh, man. Hey.
Why you wanna play hate on me?
Now, in all my years of fandom, I've always, for the most part, growing up, I had the Niners. They were coming off a dynasty when I was very young. But for the most part, I've rooted for lovable losers, i.e. the Golden State Warriors, San Francisco Giants, and the always close but never complete San Jose Sharks. There's been a turn of events over the last few years, especially for my Golden State Warriors, as they have won 3 of 4 titles. They are in the 5th straight NBA Finals. They have the most stacked team on paper, at least top-heavy. Even though they haven't played like in the finals. But we love to hate on dynasties. Ask any Lakers fan of the early 2000s. Ask any Cowboys fan of the 90s. Ask any Yankees or Boston Red Sox or New England Patriots fans. We love to hate on dynasties. Which is cool, and I get it. I like to see someone else win, too. But in the North State, when y'all start rocking Raptors jerseys and you're not Raptors fans, you're just a hater. And I see you haters. Y'all roll thick. You are everywhere. I hear you screaming. That's why I don't go to the games or go to the bars to watch these games, because it's just a bunch of people gathered simply to hate on my Golden State Warriors. And I don't appreciate it, because I root for the Sacramento Kings when you guys are doing okay. I root for you guys when you're doing bad. But a lot of you Kings fans cannot stomach the fact that a team an hour and a half south of you has become a dynasty. And I would just like to let you know, you're all on notice. And if the Raptors win, y'all are all going to be insufferable. But I'm going to wear my Jason Richardson throwback jersey from now through the end of the summer. And y'all feel free to come talk to me about all your hate. That is the player haters ball, y'all.
I like how you just hated on haters right now.
Yeah.
That was basically the gist.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Hey, man, I hate on everything, too, so I'm right there.
Yeah, I mean, I am one of those haters. Yeah. But
I
just not against the Warriors.
I recognize you. I get
that. Yeah, yeah, we're one in the same.
Are you one of those fans making the you know, the KD, if KD was an injured excuse, or are you going to take it on the chin?
What choice do I have? I don't know. Okay, let's say KD was there for the whole series. I think it's a different series, but...
I mean, it's a pretty legitimate excuse. If you were going to use that excuse, the best player in the world not being on your team, that's a pretty legitimate excuse.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious.
Tell me all the other teams that could survive a finals run without their best player. You know, it just doesn't happen.
Well, most teams, if they lost their best player, they would probably not even get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know,
AKA the
Lakers. That speaks to the depth and the, you know, the strength of your roster. But
also, Kings fans, you want to hate on the Warriors for assembling this super team? Most of their players are homegrown. Yes, we added Boogie coming off an Achilles. And if you want to get mad about the KD thing, okay, I get that. But our three other All-Stars were all drafted by the Warriors. So get out of here, haters. Y'all drafted okay, too. The problem is you didn't develop anybody.
Did you say they drafted okay?
The Kings?
We've gone through this. Yes, it's terrible.
It's not terrible. They just didn't lately.
Yeah, right, maybe not lately. Maybe the last 2 years have been okay. But building when the Warriors are picking their picks, the Sacramento Kings had so many more flops than that.
Yeah, that's
they had so agreed. Many opportunities to make better picks.
Didn't the Kings draft Antetokounmpo?
They had Boogie Cousins at one point in time. Got rid of him. They had Isaiah Thomas. Got rid of him. Nick Stauskas. How's he doing?
They passed on Giannis.
Ben McLemore. Yeah, fantastic.
I don't even know where he is. Yeah. Jimmer Fredette, Hassan Whiteside.
Hassan Whiteside's in Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll get a good player, but we're going to get rid of him.
Any player that they got that was any kind of decent is on another team now.
Yeah.
So,
for the most part, except in recent history, Marvin Bagley's been a player. He's been solid. Yeah.
Buddy Hield's probably their first original pick that's panning out okay for them
now. They traded for him, though.
But look at
Darren
Fox.
He was in the Boogie deal.
That's right. He was. Never mind. They didn't even get that one.
Yeah. They drafted Fox.
Yeah.
Okay, that was their last pick. So Fox and Bagley.
And Bogdan Bogdanovic.
Fox and Bagley are still kind of early in their career.
Yeah.
They're 2-3 years in.
Yeah.
So in the past 3 years, you've gotten good at drafting. Welcome to the club now.
Fair enough.
I think you're getting worse at drafting.
Yeah, no, we've gotten terrible. Yeah, no, we've had some bad ones. Hey, D'Angelo Russell, we don't like you, but we're going to ship you away. Oh, wait, you're actually kind of good.
Yeah, he became an all-star this year. And the number to open the game tonight, the Warriors are a -1 favorite. Yeah. Tip-off just started. So that number came way down. A bunch of heavy money must have been coming in on Toronto for that number to drop 4.5 points in a day. But we'll see. We'll see. It is in Toronto.
Gotta have faith.
Oh, God. It's been brutal. Let's talk some soccer, shall we?
And now it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as...
39 was last year, and he could barely, throw a ball out at a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's Foot in Mouth.
Noobs is, will never not be funny
to
me.
It always gets a chuckle out of me.
Oh, it's great.
I did a terrible job last week. I forgot to mention that the World Cup for women is on display right now. It is happening. Started happening this week. Our USA women look to go defend our title yet again against the world, improve our dominance in women's soccer.
Defense looks kind of sketchy.
I haven't seen their team really play this year, so I'm excited to see how they go about it because there are some really good teams out there. France, Germany, Brazil, the contenders out there.
Norway.
Don't
sleep on Norway.
Actually, the only problem is with Norway, they are missing their Ballon d'Or winner. Yeah. Ida Hedeberger did not play for the international team this year.
But I think their first game, they were 4-0 or 5-0.
They did. They won against Nigeria and dominated in fashion. We'll be interesting to see how they go about. Either way, we got legitimate soccer being played in front of our eyes right now. World Cup, we're going to have games on the daily. And these women are hungry for it. To think that women's soccer is, I feel, one of the women's sports that can very much hold its own against men, the same men's soccer.
Yes.
Very much can.
One of the only sports, actually.
Yeah.
The only one that might come close is women's college softball.
It's great.
College softball.
It's better than MLB baseball right now, I'll tell you that right now.
That was a fantastic
definitely college better than World men's, Series. Men's, yeah. By baseball.
The College World Series, that was exciting. The College Women's World Series. They're exciting as hell, man.
Yeah.
Those games, the way the game is played, smaller field, bigger ball.
Yeah.
Way more enticing. That being said, the women's game is in full force right now. USA are going to be playing tomorrow at 12 o'clock. They will be facing... I should know. I had them up locked on my screen right now.
Cool.
They're playing Thailand.
Thailand.
So, yeah, should be an easy game for them. Nice little warm-up match to get them ready for this World Cup that is happening.
Can you go through some of the favorites with us?
Like I said, France, they are the home squad yet again.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be a great place for them that they can show up. They can have that marvelous one that France had in the last World Cup. So they are the favorite. They are a favorite there. Brazil, they have some great talent over there. Germany as well. Cannot say enough about them. And England, they have some star set of talent. So just honestly, when it comes to the men and women's, it's very similar except for the USA. Like the USA is the only team that's like, oh yeah, the women's is way better than the men's. For the most part, when you think of the teams, the men's team is good. Usually that women's squad is equally good. But USA is a long way to go. So, you know.
We dominate women's sports in general.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do a great, we've done a great job as a society getting young girls involved in athletics. So.
Other countries are coming up, though. So.
No doubt.
Yeah.
The USA women are in Group F. That includes Chile, Sweden, Thailand, and the U.S. So.
Probably the biggest competition is going to be Sweden.
Sweden, yeah.
They do have, they breed them big up there, you know? Big and strong. Them Vikings, you know?
No doubt.
Game of Thrones. The North.
Bunch of brands up there. Is that it?
That is the foot in the mouth. I will say, got to give a shout out to Portugal for winning a fake international trophy that UEFA came up with, the UEFA Nations League. It's a way to keep the mundane friendlies and make a real trophy out of it. Portugal beat the Netherlands 1-0 in the game yesterday. So they lifted, again, this is a fake trophy. This doesn't count for anything. If you're a real soccer fan, you're like, what is this trophy we're talking about? You waited UEFA Nations League? Yeah. Whatever. It made competitive soccer. There was some great goals, some good times. Either way, we're in the lull. We're in the international phase. You got to wait till August till the clubs come back. Either way, we have some great international soccer with the Women's World Cup going on. So tune to your channels. It looks like it's going to be on Fox this entire time.
Nice.
That or Univision. I don't know about you. I love my soccer in Spanish, so I always try to watch it that way if I can. That's foot in the mouth, y'all.
Appreciate it, brother. The NHL Stanley Cup Finals are going on currently.
How long does hockey playoffs last? Oh, my God. I feel like they've been playing for a month longer than the NBA playoffs, and it's been playoffs the entire time.
Well, they have pretty much the exact same schedule in terms of games they played. And
yeah, 82 games in their season.
Oh, man.
They start a little bit earlier than
they start, I think, a week and a half before playoffs.
I mean, the Bruins are they have game 7 of the Stanley Cup, so like we haven't even, you know. So there's
I mean, the Blues had the opportunity in St. Louis to close out in game 6 and couldn't do it. But I want to give a shout out to Chara, the defenseman on the Boston Bruins. This guy took a hit from a puck to the face or a stick to the face and broke his jaw. Dude is going to play the rest of this series.
Yeah, hasn't missed a game. Hasn't missed a game because of it.
Missed a game.
That sounds about hockey.
Yeah.
That is insane.
That is ridiculous.
This guy has his jaw wired shut.
He's probably like, all right, guys, get back.
Drinking milkshakes for dinner.
Yeah, this guy is Kanye West.
Do the wire. Nice, I got the reference.
Thank you.
Just a quick update. We talked about David Ortiz and his condition earlier. He is en route to Boston. He has left the hospital, so it looks like he's going to do all right. So I wanted to update that real quick. I wanted to do kind of a quick rundown of some topics we haven't had a chance yet to talk about, so maybe we can kind of knock these out real quick. Sound good?
Rapid fire.
Cool. Rapid fire, yes, sir. Jordan's Philadelphia Eagles signed their quarterback to a long-term deal worth $128 million. Carson Wentz just got paid. How you feeling about that, big dog?
I love it. I mean, you know, you let go of Nick Foles. You know, I don't feel like you do that unless you're confident in Carson Wentz's abilities. I think you giving him that deal proves that, shows that to him, and he's going to come out this year and hopefully stays healthy and balls.
I mean, it's from a financial standpoint, it's a boss move by Philadelphia in the sense that all these contracts, I mean, these, you see Patrick Mahomes is, you know, estimated to get over a $200 million, you know, the first $200 million contract for a quarterback. All these big-time deals coming out. I think it's really smart for the Eagles to lock him down for the next 4 or 5 years.
Get ahead.
Under the you know, shorter salary.
Whoops, another broken ACL.
Yeah, and that's you know, that's broken ACL. But that's,
sorry,
I mean,
torn, whatever.
That's the only risk. I mean, that's the risk you play. But I think it's a financially, I think it's a great move. I mean, he showed before the injury, he's an MVP, you know, candidate and can play to that level. But I think it's super smart, and it's going to open up a lot of cap space for the Eagles to, you know, get some talent around him.
Yeah, that's fair.
Did you guys hear about Kellen Winslow Jr.?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tight end, NFL tight end, was just convicted of rape.
Oh, he did get convicted. Yeah, I know we talked about that story a year or so ago when it first came up.
Finally, I'm an effing soldier.
For those who don't remember that clip. And wasn't he the accuser, I believe, was in her 70s.
Wow.
We might want to look that up before I just.
Oh, so you don't want to put that? That's a weird. That's weird. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna look that up. Yeah. Before I just go out, say, well, I guess I did already say it. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it was something along those lines. I'm going to look it up now. Let's see. Rafael Nadal wins the French Open. He always wins the French Open.
Always. The fact that that guy is still lifting that trophy, just the fact that he's still lifting trophies is ridiculous. Not just the fact, he also faced Federer in the semifinals. Roger Federer is still making semifinals and Grand Slams. What is up with the tennis people these days? Can you not take down the old guys? God.
It was a 58-year-old homeless woman that he was accused of raping in, or that he was convicted of raping in San Diego.
Wow. I don't think she was homeless. It made it seem like she was in their front yard gardening, so that constitutes she had a home. So
this is according to the New York Post. That could be inaccurate. I'm just reading.
Yeah, state your sources. Don't put that on you.
He was also found guilty of indecent exposure and lewd conduct, and this was a 77-year-old woman in her hot tub in Carlsbad. So,
again, according to the New York Post.
According to the New York Post, yes,
thank
you. I'm
looking at an article right now, too, and it says very similar things, but it says very it contradicts it as well. It says a 78-year-old woman in a health club.
Hmm.
Well,
we're not going to figure this out live on air, guys.
Yeah, let's just keep it pushing.
We got breaking news. Yeah. We're breaking down the Kellen Winslow Jr. trial right now, guys. Yeah.
Breaking news. Tony Parker retires.
Good.
Finally.
Him leaving San Antonio was weird.
Yeah, I didn't even know I thought he retired when he left San Antonio. He went to the Hornets for a week.
Yeah, he should have retired before he left. He was done before he left. I understand he's still kind of young. D-Wade was also kind of young, too. If it was fortunate, if good fortune was everything all on your side, you maybe would have had a couple more years. So would D-Wade. But, you know, sometimes it's better to call it quits early than late.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of if you don't have the love for the game anymore, don't just show up for that paycheck.
Like,
you know?
D-Wade went out the way he's supposed to go out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, he went out like a boss.
He still probably could play another 2-3 years be a really solid contributor to a playoff
team. Not 82 games, but...
No, but if you could get 66 games out of him.
Out of anybody, that's perfect.
Yeah, and you can have him for a playoff run because he's still one of the most clutch players in the league. Mm-hmm. That guy shows up to play in crunch time.
So you want to pull like a Kobe Bryant, you mean? Just like keep going on, drain the team of money, and just like,
for a discount almost his entire career.
Okay, fine. Maybe not the Kobe Bryant thing, but still, Kobe Bryant got paid.
The only years he really cashed in was like the last 2 years in Chicago where he way underperformed, but they cashed him out.
Yeah. He deserved that money.
He was making like $18 million plus for both years.
Yeah, I think he was making $22 million.
Yeah, he was making something ridiculous for both of those years. So shout out to
D-Wade. Also, I would like a contract where there's a buyout clause in my contract where someone can pay me a ton of money to go away because that sounds awesome. Here's a few million to not come to work anymore. All right, bet. I'm going home.
And then you could still get another job.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
You could still be working while getting money from your old employer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lick. I appreciate it. I don't know if any of you heard this Baker Mayfield story, but Duke Johnson has come out recently and said he basically demanding a trade. Duke Johnson, running back for the Cleveland Browns. And this makes sense. They already have Nick Chubb there, and they went and got Kareem Hunt this offseason. So they're loaded in the backfield. Duke Johnson, solid running back, wants to get traded because he knows he's basically a bridge to the future for that team. And Kareem Hunt's suspended the first four games, and basically Duke Johnson saying, trade me now so I don't just get used up and beat up for this team and then get traded or cut four games into the season. Baker Mayfield basically said, you're either with us or against us. And my two cents on this, I want to see what you guys think, is slow down, young fella, because almost everyone at some point in their career will be expendable, including you, my friend.
I can't wait for that to happen to him now.
And you can't ever side with management on these things. You either no comment it or say, hey, Duke's got to do what's in his own best interest, that type of thing. But you cannot side with management. This is such a bad look for him, and this is a young up-and-coming star in the league. You gotta take your teammates back in this situation. What do you guys think about that?
100%, man. It looks terrible on him right now. Like, that's like someone like tattling to your employer, like, oh man, I saw him on his phone when he wasn't supposed to be. You know, right. Like, that's like, really, man, you're going to be, because the guy's like not with you, because you got to see his point of view, man. You can't, like, what you just said, he's an expendable piece of merchandise.
Well, and
right
not,
now,
not like he's a scrub by any means. I mean, the Browns have been awful for the last, you know, few years, but he's been one of the shining lights on that team. I mean, Duke Johnson's, you know, produced the last few years on a pretty crappy, you know, team.
Fantasy killer.
And
he's been solid.
Yeah, fantasy killer.
And you just wonder, I mean, who is the voice in the locker room, though, who's going to take a leadership role and say, hey, my man, you can't do this. You got to realize that it'll be your time at some point, too, where you're on the trading block or where they draft your replacement. You got to take your teammates back. You can't have the franchise's best interest in mind here. You got to take your teammates back. Who is the veteran on the team? Joe Thomas is gone, and damn near about everyone else is new on that squad.
Right,
and
only
Beckham a couple.
Jr.
Jarvis
voice
Landry.
Of reason.
It's contagious.
I mean, Jarvis has been on the Browns as long as Baker has, hasn't he?
Yep.
Came into Seattle. First year was Baker's rookie year.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's just, that is kind of an untenable situation because you really don't have that guy who can pull Baker aside and say, hey, man, here's how you do things at this level.
I mean, I'm going to tag it from a different angle. I do like the me against the world mentality, us against the world mentality. I do like that, like you said. I mean, you do need to have the side of your teammates because it's going to be you. But as a Browns fan, you know, the way your team looks, you got to like that. You know, they are deep in the backfield. He doesn't know the aspect of, you know, being expendable. This whole career, he's a 25-year-old man. He's been desired, you know what I mean?
Well, he was a walk-on at Oklahoma.
Yeah, but everything since then, he's completely earned it. Yeah. And everybody, the red carpet's been laid out for him. So I think that's a learning experience for him. But ultimately, I like it.
Yeah, you want to see that competitive edge.
Yeah. I'm sure Browns fans
stay
like,
dangerous.
Yeah, well, yeah,
and,
man.
And yeah, and the like, if it was any other franchise, maybe we could, you know, be a little bit more upset about. But the Browns have been trash
they
for
have no
so
history
long,
of success.
And there's no, I mean, the fandom, obviously, I can't speak for Cleveland. Obviously, there's still, you know, fan base there, but it's one of those things where it's like, man, you want to see this kind of tenacity from a young team like that, especially a team that's been so awful.
Yeah.
To actually start to think that they can win their division or even a Super Bowl.
Now, this is on brand for Baker Mayfield. You'll remember they fired the head coach in the middle of the season last year. What was his name?
Hugh Jackson.
Hugh Jackson. And Hugh Jackson went and got a job with Cincinnati, which is obviously in the same division, same state. And Baker was really upset about that and had some comments that were essentially mirroring what he said.
You're rather spicy.
Yeah. You're with us or against us. I didn't talk to him because he ain't with us anymore. He's a traitor. It was essentially what he said. Don't quote me on that because I don't have the quote in front of me. But that's what I'm saying. It is on brand. This has been Baker's approach in the past when people who have left the franchise. I just think as a player, man, you got to understand that each and every one of you are expendable, and no matter how great you are right now, at some point your replacement will be drafted or traded for, and you will be in the same position. It happens to just about everyone in the league. Hell, it happened to Tom Brady, and then Tom Brady went to Robert Kraft and got Jimmy Garoppolo up out of the paint. And thank you for that, Tommy. But it happens to everyone. So, you know, just wanted to bring that up.
Just biding his time right now.
Yep. That's about going to do it for us, unless you guys got anything on the way out.
Tiger's back.
I love boxing. I love combat sports. We got to get that on regular TV. We got to get that back on ESPN, and we got to get that on ABC and Fox. We got to get that on regular TV all the time.
I know ESPN just signed a big deal with the UFC, so ESPN has been hosting more UFC events. Before we get out of here, I want to send our condolences to Brad's family. Brad is out because he had a death in the family, so we want to send a shout-out to them. One of my buddies actually passed away over the weekend, too, so I want to send our condolences to the Actron family as well. One thing that has been really cool about this group of guys that I'm with right now is we've dealt with a lot of death recently, too much so. But we've all been able to kind of rely on each other and fall back on each other and band together as brothers. And so we're all pretty lucky to be a part of this group. So, Brad, we're thinking about you. We're thinking about your family. Hope you guys are doing all right. We're looking forward to having you back next week. But that's going to do it for us as I awkwardly transition. Stay tuned for Le Show. It's been real, everybody.
Peace.